You're listening to the DX Audio Service.
Hello, I'm Fred Volpe.
And I'm Bob Walker.
And welcome to the DX Audio Service, a presentation of DX News, the magazine of the National Radio Club. On the first page, we have the DXers directory, which is now available from Universal Shortwave Radio. Fred Osterman puts a lot of man hours into this one. The book contains thousands of DXers from all corners of this planet. The book is divided up into five sections, including location, by last name, North American clubs, and listeners' photo section. I see that Neil Perdue made not only this section, but the front cover, along with some other folk. The book sells for a mere U.S. $4.95, plus $1.05 for postage and shipping. So for those of you that sent in your form that we had in our magazine a while back, it's now time to get the book. Send your monies to Universal Shortwave Radio, 12808 Ada Drive, Reynoldsburg, Ohio, 43068.
And now here's Roberta Giacina, news director of WMJC in Detroit, with some news about a station that had a blast.
Shotgun blast knocks out Lowell radio transmitter. Dateline, Lowell, Indiana. For those who turn to radio station WZVN-FM, that's 107.1, for road and closing information during the snowstorm earlier this week, sure didn't find what they were looking for. Someone went to the extraordinary measures Monday to knock out the station's transmitter located in a field near 141st Avenue and Reeder Road in Cedar Lake, Indiana. James Holly, the station's operations manager, said someone broke through a gate, shot a padlock off the door, entered the transmitter, and fired a shotgun blast into the processing equipment. The blast put the station off the air about 8:20 p.m. Monday. It took about 24 hours to make the repairs before the station went back on the air. The repairs cost $18,000, according to Holly, who added that repairmen had to use snowmobiles to reach the transmitter. This is Roberta Giacina at Magic Radio in Detroit.
Thanks a lot, Roberta. Don't forget to listen for AM Interlude with Wayne Heinen on HCJB's DX Party Line with John Beck. It's Saturday nights at 0230 UTC, which is 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, on 6095 kilohertz on the shortwave radio band. Now here's Bob with a look at the CPC tests.
Only one CPC test for the month of April. That will be Monday, April the 15th. KCTA 1030 kilohertz in Corpus Christi, Texas will be testing with 50 kilowatts of power, non-directional antenna pattern, using tones, music, and IDs. KCTA will be on the air from 0500 until 0600 Eastern Time. And reports are, of course, welcome to Tim Walker, the Director of Engineering, at Box 898, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And they'd like to hear from you by phone if you're listening to the test. They unfortunately can't accept any collect calls, but they would like to hear from you at area code 512-643-3541.
It's time now to take a look at the AM switch column as edited by Jerry Starr of WHOT Radio, 401 North Blaine Avenue in Youngstown, Ohio. Zip code is 44505. And here's what we have on the slate for call letter changes for this issue. At 9:30 on the dial, a new station is coming on the air in Sandwich, Illinois. The call sign, WCDJ. At 9:80, a new station is coming on the air in Casanova, New York, WJIW. At 10:20, a new station is coming on the air in Sharon, Connecticut. Call sign there will be WKZE. At 10:40, a new station in Fort Deposit, Alabama, WQTX. 11:20, it's WQXM in Gordon, Georgia, becomes WMKS. 11:20 in Boston, Massachusetts, WHUE becomes WMEX. At 12:40, a new station in Quartzsite, Arizona is coming on the air with the call sign of KYPB. At 12:70, Sparks, Nevada's KORY becomes KPLY. At 12:90, WSBL in Sanford, North Carolina becomes WKKO. At 13:20, WCOG in Greensboro, North Carolina becomes WGLD.
at 1350 WKZU in Laconia, New Hampshire, becomes WMRS. At 1450 KEED in Eugene, Oregon, becomes KRXX. And let's not forget at 1400 KPMA in Tacoma, Washington, becoming KITZ. At 1460 WPAF in Defuncia Springs, Florida, becomes WZEP. 1470s WINH in Georgetown, South Carolina, becomes WVBX. 1520 WOAO, or make that WAOA, let's get those in the right order, in Opelika, Alabama, becomes WZMG. A new station is coming on the air in Sumner, Washington on 1560 kHz. Their call sign will be KPTJ. And finally, at the top of the dial, 1600 KASH in Eugene, Oregon, becomes KEED.
Here's some grants for new stations. 640 in Royal Palm Beach, Florida, with 10,000 watts day, 500 watts night. 750 in El Paso, Texas, 10,000 days, 1,000 night power. 1020 in Sharon, Connecticut, comes on the air as a daytimer with 250 watts. 1030 in Vernon Hills, Illinois, comes on the air as a daytime station with 5,000 watts. 1390 in Fields Landing, California, 5,000 daytime power only. And on 1480 in Goodling, Idaho, 1,000 watts days only.
Now let's take a look at what's going on with the grants to existing facilities. On the chart we have the following. At 1550 WPAB in Ponce, Puerto Rico, is going to increase their night power to 5,000 watts. At 640 WHLO in Akron, Ohio's night power is going to 500 watts, and also they're making some changes in their antenna system. At 800 on the dial, the Big 8 WSST in Largo, Florida, will increase power to 50,000 watts day, 1,000 watts night. Also on 800, WSMJ in Cave City, Kentucky, will have a power of 500 watts. At 1060 on the dial, KIJN in Farwell, Texas, will increase power to 5,000 watts day and 250 night. At 1120, WMSW in Hatilo, Puerto Rico, will have a power of 5,000 watts day, 5,000 watts night. At 1140, KGEM in Boise, Idaho, will increase power to 50,000 watts day, 10,000 watts night. At 1150 on the dial in Skowhegan, Maine, WQMR will change to 1160 kilohertz with a power of 10,000 watts day, 1,000 watts night. By the way, this is an initial decision on this station. At 1290, WDGS in New Albany, Indiana will make some changes in their antenna system. At 1300, KLER in Orfino, Idaho will have a power of 5,000 watts day, 1,000 watts night. At 1340, KTOW in Sand Springs, Oklahoma will have a power of 1,000 watts day, 500 watts night. And WOUB, also on 1340 in Athens, Ohio, will have a power of 1,000 watts day, 1,000 watts night. At 1380, WAOK in Atlanta, Georgia will make some changes in their antenna system. At 1400, WCYN in Cynthiana, I hope that's pronounced right. Is that right, Bob? Am I getting the name right there?
That's right, Fred.
Okay, Cynthiana, Kentucky, 1,000 watts day, 1,000 watts night. WDNY, also on 1400 in Dansville, New York, will increase power to 5,000 watts day, or make that 1,000 watts day, and giving them a little bit more credit than they deserve there. 1,000 watts day, 500 watts night. 1410 WELM in Elmira, New York. Its night power is going to be increased to 1,000 watts. At 1450, WHTC in Holland, Michigan is reducing their antenna height. At 1490, KXLQ in Indianola, Indiana, or make that Iowa. Boy, I'm really messing these up now. 1,000 watts day, 1,000 watts night. And also on the same frequency of 1490, KOKC in Guthrie, Oklahoma, power is going to be 1,000 watts day, 500 watts night. at 1570 WTAY in Robertson, Illinois, is making some changes in their antenna system. Also on 1570 WCLE in Cleveland, Tennessee, will be making a power of 5,000 watts D1. On 1590 WERA in Plainsfield, New Jersey, will make some changes in their antenna system. And finally, up at the top of the dial, 1600 KCGS in Marshall, Arizona. They're going to move to 960 kilohertz and also reduce their power to 500 watts and also have a taller antenna system.
Other news from AM Switch, a 900 WNYN in Canton, Ohio, was noted silent. The recent application for a call change to WTOF signals a possible simulcast with WTOF-FM, a religious station in Canton, so this silent period may not be too lengthy. A 910 KOYN in Billings, Montana has been noted silent. And on 1510 KKZU in Mount Lake Terrace, Washington remains silent. This raises the number of silent stations in the state of Washington to 5.
And that's our AM Switch column for this edition of the DX Audio Service. And we have a little news story here from Radio and Record magazine about three stations which were fined recently by the FCC. WIFX was fined $6,200 for power and EBS violations. WIFX, AM and FM in Jenkins, Kentucky, were clobbered with the fine by the FCC for violating three rules. Both stations failed to perform weekly EBS tests, and neither had current equipment performance measurements available when FCC inspectors showed up. The FM was also found to be exceeding its authorized power tolerances. Also hit with a $2,850 tab for a variety of technical violations was WKBH in Holman, Wisconsin. It was cited for EBS violations, lack of equipment performance measurements, having no duty operator at the transmitter that didn't use remote metering, and having a tower fence that failed to prevent contact with the antenna lead-in wire. WXIC at Waverly, Ohio was also fined $2,400 for changing its antenna location and converting to non-directional broadcasting without specific FCC approval. A $1,000 fine was imposed on KPRB in Redmond, Oregon for unapproved antenna changes and failing to comply with its construction permits.
You're listening to the DX Audio Service.
And this is the premier issue of the DX Audio Service, cassette number one. And we'd like to welcome you to the program. I think credit should be given where credit is due. The DX Audio Service is part of the National Radio Club. The National Radio Club was founded over 50 years ago in September of 1933. The National Radio Club is a nonprofit organization devoted solely to the medium wave DX hobby. It is operated solely by volunteers. The opinions expressed in the magazine of the National Radio Club, the DX News, and here on the audio service are those of the individual writers and do not necessarily reflect those of the editors, publishers, or the National Radio Club Incorporated or its subsidiaries.
Mike Nitter is the editor of DX News, and the National Radio Club headquarters are at P.O. Box 24, Cambridge, Wisconsin, 535-230024. Their telephone number is area code 608-423-4159, and remember, no collect calls will be accepted.
The treasurer for the National Radio Club is Dick Truax. His address is Post Office Box 32125, Louisville, Kentucky, and the zip code is 40232.
The National Radio Club Membership Center is headed by Ron Musco at Post Office Box 118, Pequannock, Connecticut, 06064.
For printed publications, you want to contact the Publication Center. That's headed by Ken Chatterton. His address is Post Office Box 164, Mansville, New York. And the zip code is 13661.
Change of address information should go to the headquarters address, Renewal and new memberships and inquiries about joining the National Radio Club should go to the Membership Center address. Orders and inquiries about club publications go to the Publication Center address. Yearly subscriptions for the printed version of the DX News is for new subscribers $20. The yearly subscription for Canadian addresses of the printed version of DX News is $21 American. Subscriptions from other countries should contact the Membership Center. Check or money order payable in U.S. funds should be addressed to the National Radio Club. And, of course, the DX audio service is also available at a cost of $25 per year.
We'd like to remind you that you can contribute material to the DX audio service in several different ways. First of all you have to do is basically just drop us a letter here to the DX audio service. Our address is 39220 Cheshire, that's C-H-E-S-H-I-R-E, in Westland, Michigan. And the zip code is 48185-3709. Or you can type out that information and send it to us as a little report. Or if you wish, if you have a cassette tape recorder, just record up the information about what you know about or what you want to speak about and send it to us here at the audio service. Address it to Frederick R. Vobbe, V-O-B-B-E, 39220 Cheshire, Westland, Michigan, 48185. And your cassette can be pretty much any kind of formatted cassette, and the reel can be of any speed or any track availability. The only thing that we ask is that you make your reports no longer than 4 minutes in length. And that way everyone has a chance to put the word out here on the audio service. Stay tuned. We have a lot more for you here on the audio service. This is the DX audio service. And it's time now for the Domestic DX Digest column, as edited by Dave Schmidt of Newcastle, Delaware. You can write to Dave at 42, and I'm going to spell this out for you, C-H-E-L-W-Y-N-N-E Road in Castle Hills, Newcastle, Delaware, and his zip code is 19720. As you may or may not know, many stations have a regular test period. That's when they test each month to perform their equipment maintenance figures and stuff. And if you know when these tests are going to occur, you can actually net a bunch more stations in your log. Obviously, if you know the exact frequency and date, you can just be sitting there on the frequency and just waiting for them to test and don't have to just happen upon them as they may be testing in the future. Hopefully, very soon, we will have a list of all the different stations which are doing regular tests available here on the DX audio service. But right now, we have two tests to report from the Domestic DX Digest column. First of all, Bob, we have on 1520 WCHE in Pennsylvania. A gentleman from Tennessee wrote in and said that he did not hear the test this time. However, Dave Schmidt informed us that WCHE was testing between 2:40 in the morning and 3:05 in the morning, and unfortunately, I don't have a date here. So we'll have to, like I said, hold the list which tells about all the test times and let everyone know exactly when they will be testing.
Well, on the third Monday of the month, I do have a date here, February the 18th, it was noted, but as I said, it's a regular third Monday in the month for WFTH 1590 in Richmond, Virginia. They were noted from 8 minutes after midnight until 1:07 a.m. Eastern Time, with classical music and IDs noted both by John Malicki in Pittsburgh and Patrick O'Connor in New Hampshire, who made mention that they were destroying WAKR on the frequency as well.
Well, Bob, also I should probably let you know about a couple DX tests which happened in the past. First of all, back about, let's see, I think it was mid-February, WETB on 790 in Johnson City, Tennessee, and also WJSO in Johnson City, Tennessee, performed some tests for us in the DX profession. And lo and behold, they showed up in a few places. A gentleman in Tennessee reported hearing them with rock music, siren tones, a little bit of fading. And just a little bit of interference from WQXI at times. That was on February 18th from midnight until 1 o'clock. WJSO on 1590 was also heard during that time from 1:30 until 2:30 with rock music, periods of siren tones, otherwise known as sweep tones, also by the gentleman down in Tennessee. And I believe our friend up there to the north, Bob, I think he also heard the test, didn't he, on WJSO?
Well, of course, Kermit Gary up in Pennsylvania heard the test as well with the same warble tones, sweep tones, as you in the profession like to call it,
mm-hmm.
and rock music way over WAKR. And what was interesting on that night as well is that WQIQ in Chester, Pennsylvania, on 1590, tested during the same night as WJSO did on 1590. And if I remember right, WJSO even stood by for them temporarily to give more DXers a chance to hear them. John Malicki heard them mixing with a variety of stations, WFTH in Richmond, WAKR, and WJSO, with some IDs and some music.
Yeah, I noticed that Andy Rugg up in Nuns Island up in Canada heard that test. He says that it was poor, but heard a little bit of tone, but caught a few IDs and stuff, and it was noted under WAKR very well. So it looks like that was pretty well a successful DX test there for the DX community. I'd like to remind everyone that if you ever hear about such a station testing or that they will make available tests to DXers, be sure to contact us here at the DX Audio Service. Or at the least, give Mike Knitter a call at the DX News and let him know so they can put it in the printed publication, because just about everything that goes in the printed publication we have access to also. Well, Bob, I understand there was a few specials that were in the bulletin here. A couple stations apparently silent, a couple stations that were on the air for emergency tests and stuff. What do you got there on your blotter that you can tell us about?
Well, WDLR in Delaware, Ohio, on 1550, was noted on February the 13th. They were on at 1934. That was late for them, with closings, ID, and a time check until they faded out. John Malicki again at the dials hearing that. He seems like he was quite busy in the middle of February.
On 1000, not AM 1000, how about 1000 in Huntsville, Alabama, WTAK was on real good with Elvis music, and this was due to an ice storm down that way. There were some excellent reports sent in by a few people, and they heard the station all the way up in Pennsylvania, as a matter of fact.
Well, the only other thing here, and I think we passed this up before, but we should hit upon it, is on 1540 WZAL in McDonough, Georgia, on February the 25th, was on for a special DX test. And they were noted with their 2,500-watt power, as well as their 4-watt PSA authorization. Several people, Kermit Gary up in Pennsylvania, as well as Jerry Starr in Youngstown, Ohio, heard them as well. Several people heard the test with music, some easy listening music, and lots of IDs and sweep tones.
By the way, Andy Rugg, who we talked about a few minutes ago, sent us in a report that says apparently on 1170 CFML in Cornwall, Ontario, is apparently silent. And he noted this on the 31st of January when he visited the area. Also, 1590 KOGO in Ventura, Oxnard, I love that town, California, with the ID, The Ones You Want to Remember, went into nostalgia music, news from CNN, I believe, and it was atop the channel, it used to be KBBQ. And that report, by the way, was sent in by, I believe, Richard Wood, who lives way over in Hawaii. So it's not it's not all entirely impossible to hear something like that.
A couple of other items of note. AM 1000, the famous WCFL, the station with a format a week, has been noted off the air on Tuesday mornings with a silent period. I believe they're off from 0100 to 0500. might be an interesting place to stop by on Tuesday mornings to see if there's anyone else on the channel. And as well, another station you might want to be on the lookout for is WLIM in Patchogue, New York on 1580. They're noted quite often with equipment tests on Monday mornings, and another station you might want to be on the lookout for.
And, of course, if you have anything to contribute to the Domestic DX Digest column, be sure to send it in anytime you hear something of interest, or maybe if you just want to just bring down a list of what you have available in your area. You know, it's always beneficial for other DXers to hear exactly what is available on the dial. It gives you kind of an idea of what is out there and what possibilities there are for reaching some of that DX, which, you know, may be exotic to some folks, but to us here, say in Detroit, maybe WJR is the biggest pest, but if you're out in California, that'd be a darn nice station to put on your log sometime. So be sure to send in your reports to Domestic DX Digest. And the gentleman, again, you want to send that to is Dave Schmidt in Newcastle, Delaware. His address we had just about 5 minutes ago here on the cassette, so you can roll back and listen to that. Bob, you know, it's often very hard for radio station owners to pick up a real nice set of call letters, especially for a station with a certain kind of format. Well, comes news that for radio station owners who are looking to change call letters, comes the introduction of the Available Call Letters Kit from the New York-based Radio Information Center. The basic ingredient is a current printout of unused calls, says RIO President Maury Webster. All calls granted by the FCC or applied for up to the week before the list is produced are eliminated, he says. The RIO is also offering subscribers an option to purchase a call letter list that highlights available popular two-letter combinations, such as EZ or MG, which stations can use as promotional vehicles. Webster says the kit includes complete information on how to apply to the FCC for call letters. Cost for the entire list of either K or W calls is $110. The special two-letter combination list goes for an additional $20.
You know, Fred, I just got my new copy of the World Radio TV Handbook here, and there was some interesting trivia, I guess you could say, in it. Did you know that there are some 232 million people in the United States, and that out of those, an estimated figure, 477 million radio receivers? Gee, I didn't know there were that many DXers in the United States, eh?
No, I didn't. I didn't even know there was that many DXers in the world. Here's something which is kind of interesting. It came from the Tampa Daily News, November 9th, 1928, and it's a listing of frequencies for many of the radio stations that we hear today. And I'm just going to read down some of these, which are very interesting to note where they used to be on the dial. WBAL in Baltimore used to be on 1050. KDKA in Pittsburgh used to be on 950. WQAM and WIOD in Miami were on 930. WSM used to be on 890 in Nashville. WJAX in Jacksonville used to be on 880. WSAI in Cincinnati used to be on 830. And boy, wouldn't it be great if they were still on 830 instead of up at, I believe it's 1360. Is that right, Bob?
That's right, Fred.
Okay, at least I got one right there. WSM in Nashville, like I said, it was on 890 at the time. WGY in Schenectady was on 790. WGN in Chicago was on 720, and they still are on 720, as was WOR in originally Newark, New Jersey, on 710. WLW originally was on 700, and they stayed there. WHAS, though, in Louisville was on 650. WSB in Atlanta was on 630. And finally, WBAP in Fort Worth, Texas was originally on 600.
You know, Fred, speaking about numerical trivia a minute ago, got a little information here from the FCC that as of, I guess this is about 8 months old now, June the 30th of 1984, there were some 4,749 AM stations in the country. It's quite a list there. How many of those have you heard in the past couple of weeks?
I would have to say maybe only 100 stations, and those are all locals.
Yes.
You're listening to the DX Audio Service. I'm Fred Vobey.
And I'm Bob Walker.
And join us on Side 2 of this cassette for more of the DX Audio Service, brought to you by the National Radio Club and DX News, the magazine of the National Radio Club.